Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
So pretty stunning start to Dan Quinn's press conference minutes ago, and I want to give him a lot of credit. He says, I've been simmering on this, I've been thinking about this, and I made a mistake. His quote that he kept saying was, I missed it. I just missed it. And I'm thinking it means the decision? I'm not sure. I missed it. But that's what he routinely said in acknowledging that he should not have had Daniels in the game. He said, we knew we were not going to call any run plays and we were not going to have him at risk as a runner. But he said, when you have Jaden out there, he's always a risk to scramble. And I should have known that and thought about it and should have considered that more. I'm paraphrasing. But I missed it. That is not how Ron Rivera or a lot of other coaches that have been here would have handled that. So I do want to give him credit for that.
Now, the cap there.
It doesn't put Daniel's elbow back together, and it doesn't put his arm back together to get him ready for Detroit, and he's still going to be out for an extended period of time and probably the rest of the season. But I did not have that in the office pool. Dan Quinn's a very likable guy.
Yeah, so a couple things on that. I you know, tell my sons this all the time. I appreciate the apology. I need the reason you're apologizing not to happen more often. Right. So, again, I certainly appreciate it. And taking ownership of that means a lot to me. It really does on a number of fronts. The thing that he sort of went unsaid there was you got to look at the context of the game. Again, if he hadn't been touched the whole time, if he was under pressure like Sam Darnold was, or in this case was not, then that's a freak thing. It's not a freak thing when he's already been hit that many times. It's not a freak thing where no play is working and you're scrambling for your life every other down. Pretty much half the pass plays. He was running for his life, even if he threw it. He was getting away from something. Again, pressured on a stunning number of dropbacks. So
50%, according to Next Gen Stats. And then the second half, 60%.
I mean, Darnold was, I think, sub-10?
In 12%. Which was a career low. Yeah. I think it was 3 of 24 was the way that ratio went. But by the way, so that's the thing he said that resonated most with me. I think tomorrow's an election, right? So you think about like CNN and these channels where they'll have like five people sitting there and like what resonated with you during the debate.
To me, the closing argument of this candidate was,
And you see like, oh, everyone liked when Dan Quinn said this and like the meter goes way up because he said the stump speech thing. The thing that did not resonate with me in any way yesterday about yesterday's game from this press conference minutes ago, though, was when he was asked, are you making changes significantly on defense? To me, this would have been the day where you say, I'm taking over play calling duties. I'm going to get this right. I'm the defensive-minded head coach. I gave you the Legion of Boom. I've had top five defenses as a D coordinator every year. I haven't been a head coach, and I've run defenses in this league. I'm going to get to the bottom of this, and I'm going to start calling plays. You didn't get that.
No.
They're not making changes defensively in terms of the coaching structure, who's calling plays, the coaching staff, and the one change they are making. And this is just one of those, you do something to do it and to kind of throw some meat into a lion's den. The fix is going to be that Joe Witt will now call plays from the sideline, not from the booth, because this will help with the communication. It's still that word, communication. Now, halfway through the season.
So that part was infuriating. So as good as the ownership part was at the beginning, I appreciate him doing that, that's as frustrating as the next part was. Again, I understand that he's stood up in front of these guys and has made declarations, right? Like, you made promises. So in other words, like, go back to Ron Rivera, who you referenced earlier. Rivera said to Jeremy Reeves, if you do what you're told to do, there'll be a place for you. And when we're all going, hey, they should probably go sign a safety. They're down a couple of safeties. He made a promise. And so Jeremy Reeves got to play, and they followed through with that. And that went a long way in that locker room. Right. So I'm sure Dan Quinn has said, follow me and we'll do, and I will always have your back and we'll do X. If you do what you're asked to do, I'll do Y. Whatever that is. It's so bad and it's so broken that I understand you might be feeling like you're going back on some of your principles or going back on your word. But I'm no longer as concerned about hurting feelings in a 3-6 locker room where everybody's playing like crap, where no one does anything right at any time. Veterans you're supposed to be able to count on can't get the snap count right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everybody's broken their code. Everyone's broken their promise here. It's now time for a massive adjustment. And moving Joe Witt 100 feet isn't the adjustment, with all due respect.
I really do genuinely believe when he does stuff like this, like Dan Quinn thinks this will help.
Yes,
I don't think he's just saying words.
Yeah.
Earnest is a great word. I think he goes, all right, we'll put Dan down there. Joe Witt down there. He's a really good communicator. He's going to help sort things out. We're going to be better. It's just so empty after yet another clunker where you gave up 418 yards and 8.7 per play. They've got no answers. It doesn't matter where he watches golf, throw for 350. If it's upstairs or if it's at field level.
It's in my house. It's still happening.
Next to you on the couch would be awkward. He's calling plays on the Motorola from your couch.
The way we call plays is not for everybody.
So far, that's been true.
Yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Jay, it is good to catch up with you. Unfortunately, after a fourth straight loss to break down, what did you make of last night's 38-14 shellacking at the hands of Seattle?
It was not good from the start. You know, the opening drive for Washington wasn't very good. Jay didn't have much to work with. A punt, and then Sam Darnold goes down quick and scores. It's 28-0 at half, 31-7 at the half. And I think I might have gone to bed. I don't know. It was a disappointing day for Washington in general.
Why hasn't their offense? I'm going to get to Jaden Daniels and all things included with that here in a moment with you, Jay. But what the hell's going on with their offense? Why has it struggled so mightily here these last couple of weeks?
I don't like the rip on player. There's nobody to throw to. Who are you throwing to? I mean, Zach Ertz had 4 for 45, I think. I don't think Luke McCaffrey is even in the game half the time. And Chris Moore, I don't know who you're throwing to. You know, Jeremy Lane is a rookie. He's a below average type guy, I think. He's a number 4 or number 5 on most teams. And I just don't know. And Debo is more of an underneath guy. So I just feel bad that there's no big place for them to be had down the field. So everything's got to be a dink and dunk slant or an under route or a shallow cross or, you know, a screen or something like that. It's just hard to manufacture big plays with the people that they have right now, in my opinion.
Well, Jay, they also just didn't protect well. Daniels was pressured on 50% of dropbacks, which was the worst ratio in his career in terms of pressure faced. And on top of that, it seems to me like you mentioned the lack of kind of open receivers or what have you. I mean, they're not doing a whole lot to help him in the way of like scheming guys open either. If he wasn't running the ball, they didn't have anything going on offense last night.
Yeah, if Jaden was a quarterback, they probably would have had, you know, one or two first downs at the end of the half. It's just very hard, tough sled. Scheming guys open is kind of difficult when they're not very scared of you. They could play man-to-man. They could do whatever. They could change covers. They can rush 4, get after you. They rush 3, get after you. They rush 6, get after you. And you really don't have an answer. It's just hard sometimes. I've been in a situation like that where you're like calling up to the booth. What the hell can we call, for God's sakes? You know, we can't protect. We can't get anybody open down the field. So it's difficult. And I kind of feel for Cliff and obviously the offense.
So what's the answer? Is it more speed? Is it more weapons? Is it just getting to the offseason to add more pieces? Like, how do you fix what you're saying is the problem?
Yeah, I'd be, you know, looking at practice squads and trying to find some free agents to come in here and compete. If they don't trust Luke or this Chris Moore guy, or, you know, they just signed Travion Burks, you know, he's been in and out of different lineups for a long time. Chosen was in there. I don't know what happened. I don't know. They just got to find somebody that can run and catch a ball down the field. It's just very difficult right now for them with the people that they have. I don't know what I'd call if I was Cliff, to be honest with you. I just, you know, I don't want to sound doom and gloom, but I just don't know if I have a lot of faith in the receivers at hand other than Debo running an under route.
Well, there's some doom and gloom going around. They're 3-6, and the QB's hurt probably for the year, Jay. So, you know, you could wallow in the pool with us here. I'm imagining your answer to this question will probably be similar because of, I think, they're hand-in-hand. But the run game has really suffered, too. Is that basically the same sort of equation there, right? Because nothing scares you, so people can kind of press forward. They're not afraid of getting beat over the top.
It's a dial of defense if you're a defensive coordinator. You can stack the box. You can blitz. You can do whatever you want. There's no fear whatsoever defensive coordinator has. Safeties have it. You know, they can stop the run. They can jump their linebackers up in the gaps. They don't really care. There's no threat. So, you know, I don't know. I just think it's just a shame because last year they were pretty explosive. You know, I know that De'Ami Brown isn't a huge great player, and Zacchaeus isn't a great player. Those two guys made a lot of plays for him down the field, and obviously losing Terry hurt. But losing those guys, I think, hurt a lot.
Jay Gruden with us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. When I watch ball all day long on Sunday, most of the explosives and the big stuff in the passing game in this league comes off of play action. It comes off of sometimes bootlegs and moving pockets and often from under center. But, you know, not just your traditional drop back passing game. It seems like it's really hard in the NFL right now to just live in that drop back game without any kind of deception. Look at Kubiak in Seattle and Darnold. I mean, everything's at a heavy personnel groupings and basically getting the defense moving and hitting them the other way. Should Kliff incorporate some of that? I mean, they don't really have any of that in this offense, and I know last year it worked great without it, but something's not right anymore.
Yeah, I think a lot of the big plays are hit on first down. You know, in order to hit some big plays on first down, you got to maintain drives. That means you have to convert some third downs to get another first down, and that hasn't happened either. But you're exactly right. I think lining up some heavy personnel and then doing some heavy, hard play, actually you get some people down the field, and that's, I think, 25 or 30% of the success rate on first down or big plays because of the play action and because of the start of a run under center. A lot of people are crying for under center plays, and that really does help when you're under center on first down in a threat of a power, a duo, or a weak side counter, something like that. Then you pull it out and you're running a bootleg and high crosses and low crosses and double moves. So, yeah, I would love to see them incorporate some of that.
Jay Gruden with us here on G&D. All right, let's get to it. Do you have a problem with Jayden Daniels being in the game when they're down 31 and he's been under assault the entire evening?
Yeah, a little bit. I think the game was over. They already punted once before, kind of threw out the white flag. And unfortunately, he was in there. I wish he would have just handed the damn ball off. The end rushed up the field. I don't know why he kept it in the first place, damn it. And I don't know why Kliff gave an opportunity to have a read type play. That's the only thing that bothers me about it. If you're going to put him in there, call plays where he has to hand the ball off and you don't have a read for him. I know that's his game and that's his strength, but in that situation in the red zone, surely they could run an inside zone and just hand the damn thing off. But don't want to beat a horse while they're down, while it's down, but damn, it's unfortunate because he's such a dynamic player.
So to that point, that was going to be my question. What was the worst coaching decision, if you're judging? Having him out there, because I have not killed them today. That drive started with over 12 minutes to play. You know, so it's not like it was 3 minutes left. I mean, that's basically the fourth quarter, right? Having him out there or the play call itself was kind of what I've taken issue with.
Yeah, exactly right. I think that's more so the point. And Jaden's such a competitor. You can't tell Jaden if you're going to give him an option to read the play, just hand it off no matter what. I mean, he's a competitor. He's going to try to make a play. That's just how he's built. Unfortunately, he made a bad decision on that play. He should have handed it off. But read the end. The end came up the field and he kept it anyway, made the end miss, and then the pursuit got him. But I probably have a bigger problem with the play call, just given the opportunity to read a player down there.
In terms of – but also knowing the player, right? I mean, that's kind of been my angle. And looking at the course of the game, looking at that he was pressured, according to the fancy people's numbers, 50% of his dropbacks, Jay, which is insane, compared to right around 10% for Darnold last night, just to give you an idea of the disparity. Knowing the player, knowing he's going to try to do that sort of stuff, I got to protect him from himself right there. A 10-year vet, maybe not, but my second-year player that is so desperate to make a play, I got to know that. I got to make a decision there if I'm the coach. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, this is rookie of the year. Last year, he's trying to make a play. He wants to get back in the groove. He missed some time with some injury, with a hamstring injury, a knee injury. He wants to go out and prove himself that he is the player that everybody thinks he is. Everybody's talking about the second-year slump bull crap. He's injury-prone and all this stuff, and he wants to go out there and make a play. That's a competitive guy that he is. Unfortunately, it wasn't the right time or place to do it.
Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. So today, Dan Quinn met with the media for the day after presser. And he actually started it, came out, and said, "Hey, I've thought about this a lot, and I actually think I made a mistake. I think I missed it." He said, "You know, we weren't going to call anything where he could run the football. It was a situation where he was going to be out there, but he wasn't going to have any design carries. But I should have thought more about the fact that he tends to scramble, and he shouldn't have been out there." Did you ever have to go to the podium and kind of say, "Whoops, my bad"? And what do you make of a head coach knowing all this? The criticism, the scrutiny's coming, doing that today.
Yeah, I think my whole career was a whoops, my bad, it felt like.
That's a good line.
You know, I think that, you know, Coach Quinn is owning up to it. He's taking a lot of criticism, obviously, and he feels terrible about us. But when you ever lose your quarterback, you never want to. You wouldn't call a quarterback draw, would you? So why would you call a zone read? I feel bad for Coach Quinn, but I've been in those situations before. Apologizing for things I said, things I did, leaving a player out there, taking a player out. I don't know. I just apologize for the hell of it sometimes.
Yeah, when people are looking for that red meat. I mean, so his press conference today, he owned up to that, which was nice. But the big change for a defense that let up 282 yards and four touchdowns to Sam Darnold through the air in the first half last night, the big change is Joe Witt's going to move from the press box down to the field. So that's the big change for everybody looking for red meat. All the wolves at the door, Jay. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah. Well, maybe he can jump on the field, be a 12th man or something, because right now they have no answer to anything. They can't stop a forward pass. They can't stop a run. So I feel bad for Coach Witt, you know, and it's too bad because this team was an NFC championship, and there wasn't a lot of changes on defense. I know they lost a couple guys, and obviously the defensive end's injury, but they shouldn't be this bad. I don't know what the deal is. It's just unfortunate to see Sam Darnold throw for 300 yards and four touchdowns and a half at home. So, yeah, I don't know what the answer is. They lose a lot more now, and I wish I could tell you. I don't know. Sometimes these coaches just got to try to figure some things out, challenge you guys, challenge your pride factor, make sure they continue to play hard, find the guys that they want to continue on with the program. They're going to play hard and do the right thing, not only for the rest of this year, but for next year. There's a lot to that. Some guys are going to throw the white flag in and quit. Get rid of those sons of guns, you know. Play a practice squad guy. Elevate somebody, you know, something. Find out the guys that are going to go to war with you every day, no matter what the situation is. That's the most important thing right now for Coach Witt.
Jay, how is it so easy against this defense? I understand that they're undermanned with the injuries, but you go into the game knowing Jackson Smith and Jigba's going to get some numbers. He had 7 for 120 in the first half, and it seemed like every single time they went play action and he ran one of these like zone beaters in the middle of the field, there were four guys kind of, you know, all around him, but nobody anywhere near him to make a play on the ball. I just don't know. And he was always able to catch and run. How is it so easy? There's almost never anybody that can get their hand anywhere near the ball ever.
I don't know. You know, they're not playing a lot of man-to-man, obviously, trying to play some zones and trying to get eyeballs on the quarterback and break on balls and things of that nature. And Sam Darnold did a great job, and off Kubiak did a great job finding holes in the zone. And Sam delivered the ball. The issue is Sam never had any pressure. I mean, the guy's standing back there, chilling, smoking a cigarette, you know, just dropping dimes. I mean, if you don't have people around you, these quarterbacks in the NFL are going to hurt you real bad, especially if a guy like Smith and Jigba on your team. And, you know, the guys that they have at receiver, they don't have Cooper Kupp, but they have other players that can play. And you got to figure out ways to get pressure. That's the biggest thing.
Jay, I want to go back to your coaching experience over the years. I always think this is hard, where, you know, you got to do all the pomp and circumstance in OTAs and the mini camps and the training camps, and you do that, you know, fire everybody up speech where you have to, like, so you're like, men, I want you to sacrifice everything for the team and you know, the headbutt everyone and fight and chew and all that kind of stuff, right, that every coach has to do. And you've got veterans that are trying to carry that out. Well, when the veteran is screwing up, when the veteran's part of the problem, how do you handle that? You know what I mean? Where it's almost like this, it's like everyone notices that, like, Zach Ertz couldn't get the snap count right a couple times. How do you handle something like that, where a guy that you need, that's part of your culture, that you've stood up for so many times, is also botching it? Like, I just picked on him, but there's a million examples.
Yeah, I mean, that's why the good teams are the good teams. They have great veteran leadership, and the players that they pay are performing at a very high level and a consistent level. When you're a veteran guys and the guys you're counting on are not doing that, then you're going to have major problems with your team. Somebody's got to step up. There's no youth right now stepping up on offense. You know, the rookie running back, you know, he's kind of gone away, gone to the wayside. He went to Rodriguez last night, which he had some good hits. But, you know, you just got to continue to stay with the ship and stay positive and try to get on these guys and let them understand there's still half a season left or 8 games left, whatever it is. And it ain't going to get any easier. So they got to just come to work, put their mouthpiece in at practice and start hitting and trying to sacrifice and get better and try to dig themselves out of the hole.
Jay, do you remember a situation, you know, you guys struggling, a lot of injuries, whatever, where you kind of knew this is not going to end well, like the upcoming game or this stretch or whatever? You've got the Lions coming in here next and Dan Campbell and them, you know they're furious still from the postseason, and that's one of those teams that holds grudges and tries to score as much as they can. I just wonder, I mean, it's three straight losses of 21 or more. Hasn't happened in the league in 5 years. Hasn't happened for the Washington organization in 21 years. Like, what is that like in the building as you kind of are riding it out?
Yeah, I think they have enough good players to still perform pretty well. Marcus has won some games at quarterback. You know what I mean? Cliff has got to do a good job of doing some unique ways to try to get some big plays somehow. You know, you look at Ben Johnson yesterday, he had four or five trick plays that manufactured some big plays. So I'm not saying turn into Ben Johnson and call a trick play every other play, but something has to give. You got to try to figure out, give the team a spark somewhere, somehow. Somebody's got to step up and do it. You know, I don't think it's a woe is me, we're going to get our ass kicked every week. They still have some good players on their football team. They just got to come out and play and start fast and get some energy going and some positivity going. They start early in the first quarter against Detroit, and it's 14-0. It's going to be 72-3. So they just got to start fast and figure out ways to get their best players the ball and compete.
The NFL trade deadline is tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern. What would you advise them to do? Everybody says, oh, sell, trade a bunch of pieces. It's not like you get a lot back. But what's your mindset on that?
Well, who are you going to trade? First of all, I mean, I don't know who you trade. Who's going to get the best draft pick for you? I don't know who that is.
I'm just making something up here.
Yeah.
Like Deron Payne. Would you dangle Deron Payne for a draft pick?
Yeah, if it was a decent draft pick, I probably would. Right now, I don't feel the inside presence of Payne and Kinlaw like I thought I would before the season started. And I don't know if it's because, you know, they're not getting any pressure on the outside either, so there's really no threat. There are not many five-man rushes, but that would be a possibility, sure, him or Kinlaw or something like that. But, you know, I don't want to go fire sale right now. There's still a bunch of time left. I know quarterback's out. Lattimore's out. Things aren't looking good, but I don't know if I'd go wholesale changes and sell right now. Even though I know Dan Quinn will be there and I know Adam Peters will be there, they shouldn't have any threat of losing their jobs. So they do have to look for the long-term solution, though.
Yeah, and what kind of conversations would you have with the GM today if he asked for your recommendation? What you know, I mean, obviously your coach is concerned about this week. A GM's got to be concerned about, you know, years, right? Like, how would those go?
Yeah, I mean, is there anybody out there that can help us? We need an edge rusher. We got to get some pressure on defense. I mean, we can't give up 31 points to Seattle Seahawks in the first half, for God's sakes. We got to get some pressure somehow, some way. Who's that going to be? Who can we get? Who's out there? Can we poach a guy off a practice squad? I mean, there's a young pass rusher out there that we saw on tape from Connecticut. I don't know. We got to find somebody to give us a spark on defense. And then offensively, we got to have somebody who can run, somebody who can make a play with the ball in his hand somewhere, somehow. That's easier said than done, but the weapons are few and far between. If Zach Ertz is your number one receiving target every week, you're going to have problems.
Yeah, and we're seeing it at this point. All right, a little bit redundant from some of the things you said earlier, but I guess I want to end looking ahead to the Lions. So you're running the building, you're the head coach, you get them together for whatever the meeting is today with the walls caving in and the season seemingly feeling over from a postseason standpoint, and you say what?
I'd say we have the Detroit Lions coming in. They just got their ass beat by the Minnesota Vikings. These guys aren't perfect. These are not the Super Bowl champs. We beat their ass last year at their place to go to the NFC Championship. We've done it before. We can do it again. But we got to play our best game. We got to play our best ball. Offense, defense, special teams. We can't have mental mistakes. We can't have pre-snap penalties. We can't have holding calls and substitution issues. We got to play our perfect game and have our most prepared game. So get your asses in the meeting. Pay attention. Let's go have a good day of practice.
Jay, what was the most surprising thing to you about the weekend as you kind of look at some of the results? A bunch of upsets happened, but what game was most surprising to you?
Green Bay, it's Carolina. Just got run over by Buffalo the week before. And Green Bay with Josh Jacobs, I thought that'd be an easy win for him. And, you know, of course, Jordan Love has one of his ups and downs, one of his down games, and they lose. And Minnesota was a big surprise, too. J.J. McCarthy, you know, playing his third game ever, played pretty well, and they handled Detroit pretty easily.
Yeah. I feel like the Detroit loss is actually worse for Washington than had they won that
too.
Game. You know,
I would rather Detroit win by 50 than lose.
Yep. Exactly.
Agreed.
Yeah, I was watching that going, oh, no, I know how this ends.
Yeah.
Hey, I think the last team you were working for just a couple seasons ago was the Rams. If they keep Stafford healthy, it feels like they're a Super Bowl contender. He throws for 280 and 4 yesterday. Nakua came back, went for 95 yards.
They made that
yards.
Look easy.
They shut it down with about 20 minutes to play. What do you make of the Rams at 6-2?
Well, let's talk about the Rams. They got a Hall of Fame quarterback. They got a Hall of Fame receiver. Puka Nacua is on his way to the damn Hall of Fame. They got an excellent back tandem, Kyron Williams and the other guy.
Corum.
His name's
Blake Corum. Yeah.
And their defense is young and upcoming. They've done a great job drafting good defensive players, and they traded for a corner the other day. So this team doesn't have a lot of holes. They can stop you on defense and they can score you. They can run the ball. The play actions are sick. And they got a trigger, man. That's as good as anybody's ever played. So, yeah, they're going to be in it till the end.
Jay, great as always, man. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it. Thanks.
Be good. There's Jay Gruden with us each and every week right at 5 o'clock on Mondays. He breaks the game down.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Tebbert Automotive Group, Tebbert Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Tebbert Lincoln and Chantilly, and Tebbert Chevrolet in Sterling, all home to Tebbert for life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at Tebbert.com, and you sleep on the fact that Emmanuel Forbes had a pick yesterday for the Rams.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
On the rundown, I put that we needed to react to trade deadline news at 4:30 today. There is no news to react to. I think that in and of itself is a worthwhile discussion.
Yeah.
But the point of this segment was supposed to have been, let's talk about the couple of small moves that they made, but there were no small moves. So the question is why? And that's the question I want to pose for you guys on the phones right now at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Why did they do nothing? How hard do you think Adam Peters worked the phones to make a trade? How badly do you think he wanted to sell? And I don't mean be a full-on seller like this is the Major League Baseball trade deadline. He's not going to go all New York Jets on you and deal Quinnen Williams and Sauce Gardner like the Jets did today to get not one or two, but three first-round picks and a second-round pick and a couple of young players back, one on both sides of the ball. But do you think he was working the phones, making calls, trying to sell or not? And do you think the reason they didn't make any trade was that they weren't that interested to in doing so, or that they just didn't have the ammunition? Because I think it was B. My guess is if Peters had his druthers and had the opportunity to make moves, he would have done it. If Peters could have made trades today and gotten some picks and some value back, he probably would have pulled it off.
I just can't believe that no deals were available. That's, I guess that's where I'm starting from. So in general, I would assume that a smart, competent person and a smart, competent front office, which I happen to still think this one is, would have been doing what you just said. The fact that nothing came to fruition, you couldn't get a sixth for Andrew Wiley, you couldn't get a pick swap for a lineman that's not going to play for you this year, tells me they weren't really that interested. And maybe I'm too cynical, maybe I'm too skeptical, but the combination of you don't have a lot of desirable assets, I think that's unequivocal. I think that's obvious, right? I think we start there. Again, that's not as if you've got a field of players that everyone wants to give you multiple first-rounders
for. If we just need to agree to some early terms of the conversation, right. The first one is that they couldn't have really been the Jets because they don't have a Sauce Gardner on their defense. They don't have a Quinnen Williams on their D-line, although Payne is close to that. And if we're being honest, they're not anywhere near as bad as the Jets. Looks pretty bad right now with all their injuries, but unlike New York, they've got a franchise quarterback that they feel good about who's a second contract guy here, and the Jets are still looking for their QB and in the mode where until they find one, guys like Gardner and Quinnen Williams are basically wasting their time and being paid a lot of money to be on a loser team.
Right, and so my view is I'm assuming Jaden Daniels is out for the year. They may not assume that, but that's my assumption, and I use that as an opportunity to really kickstart this thing. And they didn't see it that way. That's how I'm viewing it. Again, we'll never know unless, again, what I would love is a report of some kind or a leak of some kind that says, you know, nothing was really available for Washington in terms of good value. They're not just here to give players away. Some sort of reassurance that, trust us, we were trying our damnedest to get some value for some of these guys that aren't part of the long-term plans here. Which, by the way, there are dozens because that's the route they went. They went veteran victor over everything else to try to win right now, which I got. Now you pivot, and they didn't pivot. So that's the fact that nothing was done at all makes me think it wasn't that much of a priority for them.
Look, if you wanted to trade Daron Payne for a 5 or a 6, I'm sure you could have done that. Yeah. They don't want to do that. And in the case of guys like him and Laremy Tunsil, who if you do nothing will be on the roster next year, you shouldn't do that. They're not as bad as their record. They're going to have a much easier, probably last place-ish type schedule next year. And all the things that worked against them going into this season will work for them again next year. So I am pro keeping Payne. I am absolutely pro keeping Tunsil because had you have flipped him after giving up what they did this offseason, that deal, like Lattimore, ends up being a disaster.
Would be a rotten egg, yeah.
There's no reason to move one that's worked and been good into the loss pile by yourself today just by making a trade. So that makes sense. But yeah, I'm a little surprised that like Von Miller's not in Buffalo with the Bills or in Cincinnati with the Bengals or, you know, with the Chargers or something. That would be the type of move that would have made some sense. I do think they tried, and I just don't think they had the right types of players and could get anything for the players that were actually worth moving. That's my guess. Let's go to Saman in Richmond. Why don't you think they made a trade at the deadline that passed a half hour ago?
So we're so accustomed to seeing notifications pop up, transactions coming across ticker symbols to get us closure on feeling that some kind of deal was made. But I have all faith in AP based on, like, what we've seen in the past and some, you know, during draft day, what the action they took last year. I'm sure he picked up the phone, tried to make some phone calls, see what was available. And I don't see we have anything much to offer. So, you know, it's kind of like what you said, then we probably stay par for the course with all of the big splashes we made last year. And, you know, he doesn't have as much of a short leash being a new GM. So we're probably going to ride it out.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah, I mean, Here's my working theory, that they are so all in on this, we're gonna value culture above all else, that we can't even sacrifice that during this lost season. Because if you start selling players off for future picks for guys that won't be here, that some of the young guys that you're trying to raise in this good environment might suffer because of that. And I really do believe that's kind of their true north, is this thing that they're trying to build and show everybody this is who we are all the time. And I think sometimes that rhetoric gets in the way of like cutthroat GMing, which would be much easier for me coming in as a consultant type guy on
the
outside.
It's possible, but you hear that stuff from Dan Quinn, and that's all DQ stuff more than Peter's stuff in terms of what we see it. Now, maybe they are on the same page on a lot of things. But again, I think this is where you've got a separation of church and state a little bit, where that's the Dan Quinn way. Spin the hat backwards. Let's give you the slogans. Let's, you know, go get them, win one for the skipper, and we're all moving in the same direction, culture, culture, culture. I think Adam Peters is going to make the tough decisions when he has to. That last caller makes an interesting point, too. I would say he is an aggressive executive based on what we've seen. You know, the Lattimore deal last year,
yep,
hasn't worked. Super aggressive.
It's aggressive. Tunsil.
The Laremy Tunsil deal this offseason was a huge splash. That's a big swing. I mean, they have absolutely done some moving and shaking here from the front office perspective that we wouldn't have anticipated. And they don't stand pat a whole lot in the draft. They've moved picks. They've moved around the board. They're making calls and dealing with Howie Roseman and the Eagles to navigate the second round a couple years ago. It's not like he hasn't liked working the phones. Let's go to Mike in Gaithersburg. What's up, Mike?
Hey, I just want to say I'm a Colts fan, and I'm absolutely thrilled with the move that we made today.
That must be nice.
Yeah, you gave up a lot, by the way.
Winning a bunch of games and getting a marquee corner must be fun.
Two ones and A.D. Mitchell, but you get one of the better corners in the league if you can get him back to his form in his first two seasons.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that this kind of compares a little bit to the Champ Bailey-Clinton Portis trade. You know, you're getting an all-pro corner, and, I mean, we gave up a guy who fumbled out the back of the end zone and caused us to lose one game.
It's funny that's his entire legacy. That's the kind of career he's had, basically, as an early pick. But, yeah, everyone today is like, they traded the guy that fumbled out of the end zone. Not that he's the first player to do it. But that's way less significant than the two first-round picks are a big deal.
Oh, absolutely. But as far as the Commanders, I mean, I think it's just really an issue with there's not a lot of young talent on the team because, you know, the Commanders have gotten rid of everybody who Rivera had drafted for the most part. So, I mean, you still have to build and field a team, and nobody's going to take a bite on a Bobby Wagner who has to cover wheel routes by himself or Frankie Louvu, who is suspended right now. I just don't think that there's a huge upside to moving any of these people. So I think that's why nobody would really bite, and the Commanders couldn't find a partner.
I wonder if this is another area where they were decimated by injury. I don't know that like Lattimore would have had value, but you just think about all the guys that are hurt, whether it's Eckler or Dietrich Wise, Lattimore, Terry McLaurin. Would there have been a different set of options for them if they had a healthy deck of cards here? That's very possible. If Debo hasn't been missing practices for a few weeks with a heel, would you be able possibly to have moved one of those players? I don't know. Brian Springfield, you're on Grant and Danny. Trade deadline passed less than 40 minutes ago. Washington stood pat, didn't make any moves. What do you think?
Hey, guys, big fan. I guess my first thought is I kind of agree with Grant here that there's really not a lot of quality players that you want to move or people would be interested in. Two, traditionally, it's the top-end teams or the teams that are going for, you know, a deep playoff run, making a trade to get somebody to make that more possible. And then the teams that are really bad record are looking to move to get draft picks to rebuild in the future. If you're in the middle or your record is 4-4, you're not overly motivated to move or overly motivated to get rid of someone. So you're kind of just stuck in the middle. That's my thought.
Well, and we saw that a million times over with the dumb Wizards and the Atlanta Hawks for so many years, like just fighting for that 7 seed and just sort of, you know, the hamster wheel to nowhere. I guess the point that I've been trying to make that maybe folks don't agree, when you've just lost by a combined 60-some points over 3 weeks that nobody has done in half a decade, that your organization hasn't done in 20-some years, you're not part of the middle of the pack anymore. You're down at the bottom. You're the dregs. Whether you want to be or not, you are. And your quarterback, the whole reason for all of this, these exercises, aka like if he was going to play again in a couple of weeks, I'd go, yeah, I need to keep everyone around him to make sure that he's got people to throw to and his development is paramount. There's no developing. There's only rehabbing. So to me, it's fire sale time, and it didn't seem to be that way for them.
So Jaden Daniels is hurt. He will be out for an extended period of time. There's a possibility he'll be out for the rest of this season. We're still awaiting word on the timeline from Washington. Dan Quinn today was asked again. This would have been the day we got that update. He said they're still getting some opinions, finalizing some things. So on Monday, he basically kicked the can to today. And today, he kicked the can to tomorrow. I think we're going to have to get some finality or at least some type of update tomorrow, where they come out, Danny, and either say he's done for the year or there's some hope that he's coming back. But whether or not they put him on injured reserve, you know, whether it's that he can come back at some point or it's permanent for this season, I would think tomorrow's got to be the day you let us know if you're going to. Otherwise, they could just do the thing they did early in the season when they just kind of keep taking the air out of the ball.
That's honestly what I think they're going to do. I think they're going to avoid telling us for as long as humanly possible for whatever reason. I don't know what's to be gained from that, to be honest with you, but it just leads to more questions, which they seem to be annoyed about. Like, Dan Quinn doesn't like answering the constant questions. Well, that comes when there's nothing definitive. So, you know, if it's like ordering a dish and being stunned when that menu item comes that you ordered moments ago. But I digress. Yeah, I don't think we're going to get clarity as much as I would like it.
My guess is tomorrow they put him on IR and he announces the severity of the injury and the road ahead, whether that means he can come back or not this season. I'm speculating. I have no idea. That's just my guess. But I guess a good follow-up to that would be, okay, if they're going to do that tomorrow, why wouldn't they have done it today? And I don't have a good answer unless they really are just getting more opinions and it's taking more time. And it has taken this long since Sunday to get all the answers that they need. But in discussing Jaden Daniels, at some point he's going to be back. Hopefully that's in 4 to 6 weeks. More than likely, at the earliest, it's with a couple of weeks left in the season, and it's very possible it won't be until the start of next year. But when he comes back, Washington's going to need this offense to look more like they did in 24 than 25, and they're going to need Daniels to look more comfortable, and like he did in 24 more often than 25. Now, I'm of the belief that there's a lot of variables at a dependent position. Joe Theismann talks about this on our show all the time,
yep,
how dependent the quarterback position is. There's a lot of things outside of Jaden Daniels' control that have led to his regression, if we're going to call it that, this year, whatever this step back was. Notably, injuries, receiver talent. And my biggest reason for his regression is his lack of time playing, his lack of time on the grass. Those are practices with just him playing, period, in practice and in games, but also preseason activity. Practices with Debo and Terry, with this offensive line. Like, collectively, everybody together, practice either matters or it doesn't. I happen to believe it matters a lot. They've had one of these years because they have a bunch of veterans like Zach Ertz and Bobby Wagner, where today, as an example, Ertz is getting this rest day. And it's just constantly days where your offense is not intact on the field because of injuries and rest days. And I think that's part of the problem. I think Jaden not getting to play in the preseason or them electing not to have him play. You know, the lack of practices with the injuries, just the fact that he missed time. All of these are factors for why he has taken a step back this year, in addition to the fact that just naturally, last year was probably not sustainable. Unless you really thought in year two he was just going to be an MVP and a top four quarterback in the league on the Mount Rushmore with Burrow and Mahomes and Allen and those guys, and that's what he played like last year. If you thought that was going to happen again, okay. But progress is not linear, and it's really, really hard to replicate that. That was a hard thing to do twice. Writing the second best seller is harder than the first. And I just thought naturally, harder schedule, a little bit less luck as a team, it was going to be tough to replicate. And throw all of this into a stew that I'm cooking. This is why we're here.
Yeah, there's a million reasons why. I think the biggest one, though, is about confidence. And it's not to say that he's not a confident person anymore. The analogy I'll draw is when I was very little, my dad was trying to teach me how to pitch. And I just would take the ball to my glove, put it right by my ear, and basically just kind of like throw a dart because I felt like I knew where it was going. He said, no, you have to have an arm circle. You have to drop the ball down, make a long circle. I'm like, no, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Because the first time I did it, I threw it 6 feet in front of me, and I didn't know what I was doing, right? I was trying to learn something. I didn't trust that it was going to work for me. And that confidence and that trust has gone away. Why? The answer is yes, by the way. Everything you just said. better opponents, less time on the grass, less preparation, too many injuries, too little time with players, having things not work out, throwing to unfamiliar faces, defenses doing things different, etc. There's no trust there anymore. So I've seen a million quarterbacks come into this league that have started to see those pass rush ghosts, where the instant they drop back, 1,000, their eyes are already darting down to where the pressure's coming from. See Carr, David, right? Who was never the same after he got sacked 2 trillion times. See a million other guys that we now think of as kind of punchlines, and we laugh because they never amounted to anything because they lost their ability to trust. They lost their ability to have any kind of confidence that what they were going to do was going to work out. I'm not saying Daniels is at that level, by the way. I'm saying it's no longer this invincible Superman type deal. So to me, there needs to be some kind of reset. Easier said than done, by the way. This is why people get paid a lot of money to fix these sorts of problems. There needs to be some kind of reset, some kind of, use this opportunity during a wasted and lost season to sort of rebuild that athletic arrogance, number one. But number two, the idea that it's going to work if you do what we say. Because that's not happening right now. Right? I mean, down the stretch last year, Cliff Kingsbury was calling something and Jaden was like, that's nice. I got to go make a play. And it was working. Now, within the structure of the offense, he doesn't believe that it's going to work. And I think that's been a huge issue.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's so many factors for why their offense looks broken. But in this game against Seattle, we'll just take this one for what it is. He got pressured half the time. A lot of those pressures are on their pass protectors. Some of them are on him holding the ball. That's going to be the case for every quarterback in every NFL game. But the vast majority of the time, I thought he was not protected well in that game. And what happens when you get hit a lot and you get pressured a lot? You start to leave the pocket as often as you can. There also was not enough opportunities down the field to hit on anything. And so what inevitably happens is I think you start pressing to take the shot and you start turning down some of the underneath stuff. You start trying to kind of want that big play because it's being taken away from you. You feel like when I get that chance, I can't miss it. And you don't take the layup because you're waiting on the 17-footer or the three-pointer. Some of that happens in this game. But the fact is, in the end, when he wasn't running, they had nothing. So I can get annoyed and frustrated if I want to that he's turning down passes to run sometimes. But when you don't have explosive dynamic players on the outside and you can't run the ball with your backs, which in that game was not happening effectively, it felt like the Tampa game in week one or the Atlanta game at the end that you were talking about, yeah, where it was like on every play he felt like he had to be special and go make a play with his legs. And in the NFL, it's not going to consistently work, right? So that brings us to Kurt Warner, who's a Hall of Fame quarterback who was evaluating Daniels' performance. And Warner tweeted something out. I'll find it here. But he tweeted something out a couple of days ago, basically watching the Jaden tape and saying the year one to year two change is stark and substantial. Pull it up and you can read it if you got it over there. But what Warner was essentially saying was, hey, there's a lot of reasons why from year one to year two, this looks different. He was giving some observations, but he got eviscerated for it. We know this in this town. Analyzing quarterbacks is so polarizing. And especially when it's our guy that we love in town, right? Everybody has decided correctly this is the franchise quarterback. Jaden Daniels, even with this year's performance, is a second contract player in D.C. He's going to be here. He's going to be the answer and the long-term player. The question is, can he play at the level of last year where he was a superstar, or is this more going to be the norm? He was 20th in EPA per play. I don't know if that accounts for like guys with a few snaps or not, but kind of a middle-of-the-pack starting quarterback in terms of some of the passing numbers. You add in the running, it's a fringe top 10 performer still. Is this what we're looking at, or was it last year where they're setting some records offensively? So that's kind of the conversation now. I think anyone who's having other conversations about if he's the future, if he's the answer, that's irresponsible. They don't even need a seat at the table. I don't give everyone a seat at the table on that. But Warner's tweet that got him in hot water was.
Yeah, so he has a couple follow-ups where he actually says, here's the video, here's the breakdown, here's what I've done.
Well, but he went on to do a 37-minute breakdown with video on this just to show people what he was seeing.
And here's the initial. Was just finishing up my tape for a week with the Commanders, and it's really amazing the difference in Jaden Daniels in year two. We often talk about sophomore slumps, and they can definitely be real with teams having a better idea of how to stop you or your O and forcing you beyond your number one more and more often. The hard part is, it just doesn't seem like JD is seeing the field like he did last year. Holding ball, seemingly looking and not throwing to open number one read, struggling to work through reads. Another example of this game being tough and guys on the other side getting paid also, but it's a bummer because he was so incredible last season.
So he took a bunch of heat, goes back and forth with fans a bunch, and then finally says, all right, you know what, I'll show you. And he does this 37-minute YouTube clip where he puts together a bunch of the video to kind of work people through what he's seeing. So we've got some of the audio of that we'll play for you here, and then the conversation we want to have is, basically, Warner gets into some of what could happen, but he seems to be saying this is the issue and not why did we get here or how did we get here, which is the conversation I want to have,
yeah.
Which is it as simple as get a couple of weapons on the outside and everything's fixed? Get a receiver who can win in man coverage. Like, if he has Justin Jefferson, what's it look like for Jaden Daniels? Hell, if you go back to last year where you just have Alamide Zaccheaus, there's nobody like him right now. De'Ami Brown, they don't really have somebody like him right now. Noah Brown and Terry McLaurin, his top four guys. Jamison Crowder, a veteran in the slot, they don't really have someone like that right now. Does it look that different that quickly? So this was Warner go to cut one on how he assesses the position and what types of things he's taking into account.
There's a lot of factors, no question. There's always a lot of factors with the quarterback and with the team and whether guys are healthy and whether they're healthy and all those things. The bottom line is when I analyze a quarterback, I look at the play in front of me and I look at all the factors. Where are his eyes? Where is he reading it? Where should he be reading this? Is there pressure? Is there guys open? All of that stuff. And then assess the quarterback play off of that.
So go to cut two here when he starts pointing out a couple of plays. Now, I have not found this to be a issue with Jaden as a reoccurring thing. Like, I don't think Daniels struggles with taking the easy throw often. In fact, last year especially, quick game was a really good thing, and the ball came out of his hand pretty decisively. But in this game against Seattle, and I think it might be symbiotic with the amount of pressure he was facing, for whatever reason, somebody would come free right away, and instead of just driving it in there as fast as possible, he would hold the ball and wait for something else. And oftentimes that led to a worse result. And it, in real time, you could see it. And watching it back, you could see it. And it seems to be what Warner was bothered by. Here was cut two.
Okay, here we come with the naked bootleg again. There, that's open right there. Got to take it, right? We always say when you have a naked bootleg, the intent of a naked bootleg is not to throw the ball down the field. The intent is to get the defense to play a little bit more at home, right? Not overplay the run and simply to get moving in the other direction and drop the flat off. That's why every naked has a flat right there. So if you have pressure, you're trying to get the flat. If you've got two steps on the flat, you take it. You give it to the guy and you don't try to do too much. You don't spend too much time looking at the pressure. Come out. He's got two steps. Give it to him. Put it on him right there. Make a play.
So watching this video, so it's hard to envision this, but the point of what Warner's saying is you may not have the home run. You may not have the let's get 17 points on this one play or the grand slam, but what you got is a first down. What you got is forward progress. What you have is an advancement, and you keep the football and you kind of keep going. Things that it felt like were there last year when they didn't have to press. Well, now they're pressing. So the point is that receiver on that play was open. Now, give it to him. And Daniels had his eyes elsewhere, whether it was on the pass rush, whether it was, you know, looking downfield for the home run ball or some kind of special thing, you know, sort of second order effect a la Mahomes, scrambling around for 17 seconds and somebody breaks free. The point was, right now, this minute, we have a positive play. And it's not just a 2-yarder either. It's probably a great chance for a first down if you do what you're capable of, which is just you come around from that bootleg, you get your eyes right, he's open, boom, we hit it, and now we get the next play call.
And instead, again, we're spending a lot of time creating. And, yep, I mean, I played quarterback. Yes, there's times where you're getting hit a lot, getting a lot of pressure, you get impatient, you stop seeing the field, and you start looking to create. It happens. That was my point, is he's not seeing the field and playing as patiently as he did a year ago. Here comes the throw. It's coming. Okay, we can always give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he doesn't feel this guy coming out because this guy chipped, and maybe he didn't think it was ever going to come, and that's why he took off. Okay, I can live with that. If that's the reason, I don't get a chance to talk to Jaden, but if that's the reason, I can live with that.
The context of why this is happening is probably the most important element of the conversation.
100%.
Because there's ebbs and flows, and Warner would go on in one of these clips to talk about how he would go through these phases where he felt like he didn't see it as clean, or he would have these games on tape. He'd go back and say, why didn't I just take that throw? And I guess that's the question on the phones for people at 800-636-1067. Is this just a product of the walls caving in offensively right now where they can't run the ball? They don't have guys getting open at receiver. Cliff's not helping them very much by scheming guys open. And so you're in this run and make a play, or maybe in his mind, extend to get somebody free to get a chunk. And that's your mindset going into the play, so you're not taking the three or the four. Now, I still remember the conversation we had with Kirk Cousins on air one time.
I was going to bring it up.
Where his adage that he always went with was, you can't go broke taking a profit. And it's based on this sit-down he had with Jay Gruden where they watched the tape of Tom Brady over a few games, all the cut-ups in 2015. He was probably not far from being benched as the first-year starter. And Jay's like, which throws can't you make? And they watch it. And he makes every single throw that Brady can make. And he's like, I could do that. And he's like, Tom Brady's brilliance is he's just taking what's there. It's completions. It's keeping the chains moving. It's second and six, becoming third and two, becoming first and 10. It's, you know, completions are the game here. And I guess what frustrates me a little bit about this week or this new conversation or even what Warner's talking about is I have perceived that to be a strength of Jaden Daniels. I don't think it was in this game. Now, I would wonder, I don't know if Kurt only looked at this game. I wonder if he would go back and say this was the case in other games. He knows more than I do.
Yeah, it might be, honestly, where you're not seeing the same level of production, and there's, you know, good enough reason for it. I was going to bring up another Kirk Cousins axiom that he would talk about all the time, where he would learn to trust it, whatever it was, throwing in a tight window to Pierre Garçon, and what was the phrase he used? Do you remember? He would make me right. He would make me right. Meaning, I now know that if Pierre Garçon doesn't have a step, he's got a step.
Well, but Jaden doesn't trust these guys to make him right.
This is the point. I don't think he trusts anybody or anything. And I'm not saying that's right. I'm saying I think that's what's happened. He doesn't trust the pass protection, doesn't trust the receivers to be in the right spot, doesn't trust guys to make plays.
Did you think the pass pro was problematic before this week? I mean, it's very normal amounts of, like, yeah, it's not perfect on every snap, but this is not a bad pass protecting group. This week they were.
Not to necessarily impugn the line, because he has a part in it too. I mean, whether it's, you know, not assigning the right protection, not having the right slide on. I mean, everybody wears that to me. I've learned enough over the years that it's not just because the left guard missed a block or whatever. Sometimes it is. But to me, I just don't think he trusts any part of it right now. And I think that's what has to come back.
How are we going to read this? You know, with us being condensed into the boundary, to me, what we have to do is we've got to start right here. Okay? So if that guy stays tucked inside, okay, and takes that away, then we're going to basically get a two-on-one out here with the flat coming underneath it. If that defender widens because we're doing all this out here, we're going to look right here and we're going to try to get it, and then we're going to work accordingly. Okay, if you work inside, it could easily be, okay, if this guy turns and takes this away, then just dump it to your back underneath. But again, what's right here? Okay, so I got to be set. Here it comes, right there. There comes the throw. To me, he's looking at it right there. This is a huge window in the NFL. He's looking at it. Okay, so take it. Okay, you don't like it, you don't take it, whatever. Okay, come right here. Work through your progressions. Take it. There it is right there. Take the back. Everything else is condensed because this guy pushed through. This guy pushed here. You don't have anything else but this. Yep. The pressure's starting to come now. No question about it. But that throw should have already been off, or you should have plenty of time right here to hold this, you know, and get this off to the back right here based off of that decision.
Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner with a detailed breakdown on Jaden Daniels. Our buddy Logan Paulson, my co-host on Take Command. You can check Logan out on Take Command. 3 episodes a week right after games, then a breakdown of the film a couple of days after the contest on Tuesdays, and then today, every Thursday, a preview pod. So we just dropped a new pod of Take Command today, looking ahead to the Lions game after Logan watched the tape. Logan, when you watch the Lions, what do you see compared to the past?
Yeah, man, I think I see a team that's obviously very talented, but I think offensively there are some cracks in the armor, is probably putting it strongly, but I do think you see a team that's not quite as efficient. I think when you look at the interior of their offensive line specifically, they got two young guards who I think are going to be great football players, but they're kind of going through a maturation developmental process. They're banged up. And again, like when you take some of that efficiency that they had last year with like two experienced guards, like an all-pro center, take that out, kind of cycle these new pieces in, the rushing efficiency decreases a little bit. And again, like they still hit their explosives runs, just not at the same frequency they did last year. They've been in more third and longs, more drop back passing opportunities for Jared Goff. And I think all of that kind of combines for, you know, just a group that's not quite as efficient to my eye when I watch the tape offensively as they were last year.
Looking for Washington's offense, what does the tape tell you? It feels like, you know, for the short term right now, it's like a pitcher tipping pitches in baseball. It seems like the defenses have had the answer king.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, with the offense, obviously, like not having your horses out there, specifically at wideout, are going to make things really, really challenging in terms of creating separation. And I think, you know, obviously, like there are ways around not having like top flight talent at the receiver position. And like historically, Cliff has used tempo, used kind of 4x1 overloads to create some of those advantageous looks for guys who have been less talented. But again, like you said, it seems like defenses have kind of keyed in on that with the man-to-man coverage element a little bit. And so I do think that, you know, I think Cliff's a really smart dude, and I think he'll kind of maybe bring some more to the party as the season goes on in terms of like bringing new guys along. I think that's the other thing that's hard to kind of negotiate here in terms of what they can and can't do, is like they've got a lot of new pieces in the building. I mean, Treylon Burks is now on the 53-man roster, and he has been here for like, you know, 10 days or whatever it is, 14 days. So there's a lot of learning in the offense, a lot of development in the offense, a lot of people in new roles. And so like, I know people want to add diversity, but you're kind of bringing in new pieces at the same time. So I'm really curious to see what Cliff does. I think he's intellectually capable of doing it. I just wonder if the personnel and the newness of everything is kind of making some of that difficult.
How about Joe Witt, the embattled DC, who spoke to the media today, said, look, I got to be better. We got to be better. He's moving down to the sideline. I feel like this is a game where maybe he could dial up the heat. I'm not always a proponent of just saying blitz more. But Jahmyr Gibbs really struggles in pass pro. You mentioned that the issues on the interior of the line. One of the strengths for Washington defensively has kind of been up the middle, blitzing from the linebacking spot. Might this be a game where they could turn that heat up a little bit?
Yeah, I think that's a really great point, Grant, and something you brought up on the Take Command podcast, obviously, which is great. So, like, I think the thing about that is everyone says we need to bring pressure. We need to kind of look at that Minnesota game plan as a roadmap. And I think Minnesota did a great job. I think the thing that concerns me is just like, what kind of coverage structures are you going to play behind it? You know, historically, Joe Witt Jr. has been a man coverage guy on the perimeter. But with Marshawn Lattimore out, and we're kind of moving some pieces around the secondary, how comfortable do we feel with those man coverages? Do we play some type of zone? Like, I think they did a great job against the LA Chargers, for example, bringing some of those internal pressures while playing zone coverages behind it, Tampa 2, 3 deep, 3 underneath, things like that. And so that's the question to me is, yes, I think you've identified the issue with this team, pass protection by the running backs, pass protection versus stunts and movement on the interior of the offensive line. It's just now, how do we make sure that we insulate ourselves versus the explosive play and make sure that the guys in the back end are communicating that effectively? I think that's the big one too, because like, I think that's been maybe like the biggest bugaboo this season of just like mental mistakes in the secondary. So how do we kind of make sure that we are bringing pressure, insulating them in the back end, and making sure those guys on the perimeter and at the safety spots know the rules versus different formations and different alignments?
Look, run game wise, I understand, you know, kind of to your point about man coverage, right? Where it's like one-on-one, these guys feel comfortable and it feels like there's some box stacking and the like, but I've been frankly pretty surprised that there hasn't been more real estate from a run game that was so brilliant at times last year and even early this year. You know, whether it's, you know, the quarterback fakes and some of the read option looks and different things, they just haven't really been able to get some consistency on the ground. What are you seeing there?
Well, I think the first thing you said there with the man coverage is something that is like, it affects literally everything in the offense. Like, look at the stuff, like the teams like Pittsburgh, Philadelphia in the first matchup, teams that were really able to kind of punch them in the mouth defensively. There are teams that played man coverage or heavy match coverage, press, take away your RPO, take away your screens, take away your quick game, and basically say, like, try to beat us down the football field. And I think you're seeing more people adopt that because, you know, last year, that's what Pittsburgh does. Obviously, Philadelphia has that really dynamic secondary last year, one of the best defenses that I've covered and that I've observed in my time covering the NFL. But I think that now, because our personnel is somewhat diminished, they can be more aggressive. So again, you mentioned the RPO, you mentioned the zone read. It really is helpful playing man coverage in those situations, especially press man. And then people say, like, well, what about stacking the box? It also allows you to stack the box, right? Because now I can make sure that I have someone for the tight end, I have someone for the F, I have someone for the H, I have someone for the quarterback. There's extra players in the front who, again, you can mess with their eye discipline a little bit with some of the play action pass stuff. But in terms of, like, fits downhill, people in the box, like, it makes it much more challenging to stop the run or to run the football, excuse me. So I think there are some things that they can do that are going to be challenging. And again, you got to kind of find the best runs, how to displace people, all those things, maybe using formation. That's something Cliff's always done a great job of. But it's, I think the other thing that's important to note here when it comes to running the football, one of the reasons that they were so successful at running the football last year is they were able to get more attempts. They're playing with a lead. They're getting more first downs. They're getting more bites at the apple. And I think when you look at games where there's good game flow, you know, the LA Chargers, the New York Giants, the Las Vegas Raiders, and they're up and they're playing with like a lead for the most part, they get more touches, the backs get explosive runs. So I do think there's game flow issues here, there's schematic issues here. And so to me, like, the number one thing they need to do is just make sure you get first downs. Give us more opportunities to get the back touches and possess the football. And so hopefully that leads to points, and hopefully that leads to a fourth quarter where we can get those backs as many touches as they need, kind of like Kansas City did versus Washington a couple weeks ago.
Logan, the story in The Athletic about you was great. Hopefully all of our listeners have read it. If you haven't, go check it out. Thanks for hopping aboard, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Thank you, buddy.
Be good. There's Logan Paulson. Of course, if you like the film analysis, the scheme insight, the deep dive X's and O's, information he provides, Take Command, wherever you get your audio, is a three-time-a-week podcast that he and I do. Although, don't listen to it between 2 and 6:30.
No, thank you.
Listen to this here radio program that helps your pals out just a little bit more. Last night, though, in D.C. sports, an all-time moment. Look, surpassing Wayne Gretzky and breaking the all-time goals record is the lead. That's going to be the number one moment in the career of Alexander Ovechkin and maybe non-championship division in Caps history. But when you form a club at a big round number, like 900, and you're the only guy in the club, everybody else gets stopped at the velvet rope but you. Pretty amazing evening. They stop the game. His teammates pour out over the boards to celebrate with Ovechkin. They played a nice video montage. Both teams giving him stick taps. One more celebratory night for the Great Eight.
And a puck behind the net. Bennington looking to play it, and he gave it away to Ovechkin. The puck centered up here for Chychrun, a drive, and a puck that is in, a score! And it's 900 goals for Alexander Ovechkin! The 900 Club has its first member! The odometer turns over and the bench empties, and Alex Ovechkin has done it! The first player in National Hockey League history to 900 goals!
John Walton, as heard right here on 106.7 The Fan last night, was lucky enough to have been in the barn. I was actually sitting not far, Danny, from where Slapshot is perched behind the 899 banners that he's ready to flip over. And he's had to just stand there for most of...
Just standing at attention, waiting, yeah.
The last few games, just waiting to flip the placard over to say 900, and he got to do just that. Really, really cool scene. I don't know if we'll ever see anybody score 900 goals again. I know Alexander Ovechkin has. We've been lucky enough to see every one of those goals, and this one was pretty patented. How many of them do you think were no-lookers? Where he just went backhand, he knew the goaltender was out of the net, so he was just trying to get it toward the cage. I saw after the game, Carbs in his post-game address to the team was talking, and then Ted Leonsis asked him, have you ever scored one no-look like that? And he said, only in practice against Logan Thompson. But I don't know that in a game we've had one quite like that. It's hard to do a new one for 900.
Seriously, how do you reinvent it? I mean, he's done it from his back where he couldn't see anything except the lights of the arena. He's done it in all sorts of different ways. The garbage goals, the snipes off the face-off, the one-timers, the stick handling, everything in between. That was pretty unique. At no time until the puck went in did I think, oh, that's a shot for a goal. I'm just going... He's going to start the play over. It's almost like a reset, right? Well, I know he's got some open goal, but he's just not in a position to, oh my God, he scored. Like, just, that's him, dude. Just a, there are people who are put on this earth to do a thing. That's what he's put on this earth to do, is to put that puck over that line into that cage.
It also just feels like so many of these moments for him come on nights where they just need something.
Mm-hmm.
They need energy. They need a boost. And they score 6 goals last night. Tom Wilson had a pair. He's the team leader right now with 8 goals on the season. He's been great. Anthony Beauvillier had a fantastic game. He scored 2 goals. And John Carlson had a pretty goal as well. So the Caps get exactly what they needed, just what the doctor and the Carberry ordered. And Ovi gets to 900. We'll talk to Joe Beninati about this coming up at 3. Pretty amazing scene at Capital One Arena last night.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods.